With Amex Gold, you can experience the gold standard. You get access to exceptional dining, plus 4x membership rewards points on eligible dining purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Cap applies. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Oh, it's a big news day in the Bay Area. Brandon Ayuk, he gets paid 4 years, $120 million extension. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. So Brandon Ayuk, he gets his money. The nightmare is over for the 49ers fan. Damon Bruce, host of the Damon Bruce Show. You can catch him on YouTube. He knows everything, follows everything, covers everything Bay Area. Joining us here on Amber and Ian. Damon, thanks a lot for your time. So did we expect, after John Lynch's comments yesterday, he seemed exasperated with the situation. Were you surprised that the very next day the deal got done?
Well, Jonathan, I mean, we've been waiting so long for this to happen. Yeah, conclusion does feel a little bit like a surprise because it felt like both sides were willing to go to the mattresses for their respective positions. And, you know, in the reporting on this, we found out that Ayuk has agreed to a contract that was basically on the table from the 49ers in mid-August. Look, I'm just glad it's done. I mean, we officially needed to turn the page from this topic in the summer of bad vibes. Is a little less bad vibey around the 49ers tonight. It's official. You know, they became a better football team this evening. Brandon Ayuk is Brock Purdy's favorite target. He is an outstanding downfield blocker. Therefore, Christian McCaffrey's season just got a little bit easier. And one down, one to go is the way that every single 49er fan is now looking at this offseason. There were two headaches. Brandon Ayuk was number one, and Trent Williams a bigger headache because of how important he is to protect, you know, Brock Purdy. That needs to be handled too. There's 10 more days between now and the start of the season, and hopefully this is news that comes out either with a Friday news dump or right after the Labor Day holiday, because he's an important piece too. But this is good news for the 49ers. There's just no doubt about that.
Now, Damon, what, in your opinion, what was the turning point for Brandon Ayuk? Because as you said, you know, we're seeing the reporting. This was a deal that's been on the table for weeks now. It's not exactly market setting. It's great money, but it's not market setting. What was it that turned the tide in these negotiations, in your opinion?
I mean, Marcel, maybe it was the CeeDee Lamb deal coming in, and that's another number to now work with in terms of elite numbers. So you know you're coming in a little under that. So now 30, which might have sounded like a little bit of an underpay, now sounds like, okay, I guess that all fits in. I think there's also the ticking clock that every athlete has in their own head saying, hey, if I'm going to go out and play the most dangerous sport that there is, I do need to get my body on the practice field. Maybe there's some internal, just I got to get back to it, that played a role in this. Let's also be completely honest, market setting or not, $120 million with 70-plus guaranteed, that's really good money. And Brandon Ayuk was looking at $14.5 million and question mark beyond that. Or a four-year deal to stay with a team that's pretty loaded to bear, has a quarterback that they believe is going to address its present and its future. Kyle Shanahan, you can tell all that he lost the Super Bowl jokes you want. He's an outstanding coach, and he's in a good situation. He's in a better situation than he would have been in New England, where they named Jacoby Brissett the starter. You know, he's in a better situation than he would have been in Pittsburgh. And I'm sure their sports radio is blowing up saying, man, we got teased with this, and maybe they were used as a stalking horse. I know that everyone's going to spend the next 48 hours trying to come up with who won the deal, you know, who won the negotiation. I really don't care. I care about winning football games, and I think the 49ers just got closer to doing that with this move. So let bygones be bygones. Nobody have any soft tissue injuries early. Let's go.
Damon Bruce, the Damon Bruce Show on YouTube. You can check him out, especially for all things Bay Area, joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. It doesn't seem to me, Damon, like Brandon Ayuk ever wanted to not be a 49er. I mean, there were opportunities. He didn't want to play for the Patriots. I guess he didn't want to play for the Browns either. Whatever reason, it didn't work out in Pittsburgh. He ends up working his way back to San Francisco. I mean, do you believe that he ever really was serious about not staying with the 49ers?
I think he was more serious about getting paid than anything. But the 49ers create an opportunity to get paid in a way that, you know, pays off for you down the road. I mean, this is the highest profile team you're going to really find in the sport. You know, you end up winning a Super Bowl. You can write SB champ whatever on your trading card at trading shows for the rest of your life. And that adds value to a career. Now, all of these guys need to protect themselves. So he wanted, you know, in an exploding wide receiver market, elite wide receiver money. And looking at, you know, the analytics of who he is as a player, there was an argument to be made that he was worth that money. I know that reasonable people can disagree about things. The 49ers, the way that they play football, felt like they were de-emphasizing the passing game. So are they really going to pay a wide receiver this much? And the answer turned out to be yes, because this is going rate for top flight wide receiver talent right now. It starts at $30 million. The concept of, you know, you're starting two wide receivers making $50-plus million sounds like an expensive deal today. It'll be normal standard operating procedure 2-3 years from now across every single NFL team. I think Brandon Ayuk is a smart guy. I think he played his hand with very little leverage. He ends up getting what he wants, and he has to stay with the team that I think he believes gives him a better chance to reappear in the postseason. So it's good news all around. It really is. I think a lot of football players out there would like to be in a situation that a lot of 49ers find themselves in. They play for a well-run, good-coached, pretty on top of their you-know-what football team. And, you know, everyone has them as a top team to beat in the NFC again once this year. There's only one thing left to do as a franchise, and that's win a Super Bowl. And let's see if they can go do that.
Now, of course, Damon, in the NFL, all roads lead to quarterbacks. So we might be talking about Brandon Ayuk today, but eventually that Brock Purdy deal's got to get done. When it is time to pay Brock Purdy, that was kind of a tongue twister there. What does that contract look like? Are they going to reset the market? Like, are all their decisions now being made because they know we're going to have to cut a $60 million a year check to our quarterback in the very near future?
What we're going to be talking about is the single biggest year-over-year raise I believe any athlete has ever gotten in North America in any sport. Has there ever been anyone who went from making about $1 million to making about 60 in 1 year's salary? I don't think that's ever happened. So there is going to be an unprecedented number attached to Brock Purdy, and that number will fluctuate depending on what happens this year. You know, if Brock Purdy is sitting down at the bargaining table, having been the quarterback of a 49er team that just saw the season go all wonky and they missed the playoffs for whatever reason, because that always happens to a playoff team, it's not out of the question. Injuries happen. They got a brutal schedule. If they miss the playoffs, Brock is still the quarterback. No doubt about that. He's probably looking at $50 million. If they win the Super Bowl, he's talking 65. You know, I mean, so this is a monster year for Brock and what his contract will look like. I mean, there's no world that exists where he's not going to be handsomely rewarded. The question is, will it set a record? Will it reset the market? And I would suggest that he's good enough to make that happen.
So, Damon, how now does the Trent Williams situation play itself out?
I've been saying this on my show in a little bit more flowery language. I'll edit it for you. This is the ultimate F around and find out negotiation. Trent Williams is Mr. Pay That Man. As you know, reasonable people could have had differing views of Brandon Ayuk's value to this team. No one who understands the sport of football that looks at Trent Williams and sees anything other than a state-of-the-art left tackle as the league produces right now. You know, he is, you know, the only thing you can say about Trent is he's starting to get a little old, but he still plays top-flight left tackle, and he is going to protect what is about to be a $60 million man probably. So there are very few guys who are as good at what they do in this league. If it's just about finding guaranteed dollars in a contract that is already on paper for about $120 more million, just guarantee some money. Like, again, I'm not a capologist, but everywhere I look, you know, money gets converted into signing bonus, which makes things flow. And I think that Trent Williams wanted very much to not take part in this preseason. He's one of those few guys who can get away with that veteran type of treatment. And now it's just time to find the magic number that gets him into Santa Clara. Again, the Jets will be in Santa Clara in about 10 days from now. And if I'm the 49ers, I would want Trent Williams to be there too.
Damon Bruce, the Damon Bruce Show on YouTube, covering all things Bay Area. Good day for the 49ers fan. Damon, thanks a lot for your time here tonight on Amber and Ian. We appreciate it.
How about Bay Area extensions between Steph Curry and now this? We're talking about nearly $200 million in extensions. Big day, spending some money and writing checks in the Bay. Take care, fellas.
God, let me hold a dollar, you know? I mean, come on. That's a good point he makes there, Marcel. Brock Purdy making under $1 million or whatever it is a year, he's going to wind up getting somewhere between 50 and 60. I don't know that there's ever been a pay increase that dramatic in the history of North American sports.
I don't even, we're talking just North American sports. Like, I don't know if there's been, I don't know how many people in any industry can hold a candle to what he's going to do year
in
after
business,
year.
Just business, like, not even sports, any walk of life, any business.
Like, is he making $1 million this year?
I don't think so. I know for sure, but maybe not.
Like, last pick of the draft, like, that's not, your contract might be worth $1 million. Like, you're over 2-3 years.
That's
like,
an excellent this is, point.
This is, that was, it was something, you know, that's why, hey, worldwide leader gets the big brains on this show, man. Like, gets those kind of opinions on the show. Never really thought about it like that. But, yeah, he's correct. But, like I said, all roads eventually lead to your quarterback. So, every decision that you make, you know, if you don't have to, you know, if you don't have to pay a quarterback, maybe if you had a rookie on a four-year deal, you're more inclined to give Brandon Ayuk 32, 33 a year. But
he's
got to save.
He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian. Are the New York Jets already having issues in their locker room? That's right. We'll tell you next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7-foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fadeaway jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, Marcel, so what happened here with Colorado? They got down 3-0. Very quick answer, though. Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter?
Yeah, immediate answer. Not even taking the top off of the defense there. It looked like just like a simple little screen route. Bad tackling. Looked like a little man coverage there. North Dakota State safety over-pursued about as badly as you can. There was no sort of angle there. He just took a direct line straight at Travis Hunter. And I think maybe you didn't watch film closely enough, or maybe you underestimated this guy's speed. He is fast. You can't take that angle. You see why now. 7-3 Colorado. I know Boulder is rocking, man.
This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. So we'll keep you updated on Colorado, North Dakota. That's right. We got college football. You got Utah playing tonight. You got number 22 Kansas playing tonight. But all eyes, it feels like, are on Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffalo. So quick strike answer to North Dakota State, who got on the board first. But let's switch over to the NFL here for a little bit. And there's a team that is in the news a little bit, all right? Not everything is about the Dallas Cowboys. There's another team that also takes up plenty of time in the news feed, and that is the New York Jets. That's right. The New York Jets, they create the headlines. Aaron Rodgers, they're all over the place. Now, you have this story from The Athletic, all right? I'm reading you this tweet here. The Athletic spoke with 31 agents and reps around the league and surveyed their thoughts on NFL teams. And here's a quote from one of them when talking about or asked about the New York Jets. Quote, "There is complete disarray over there. Look at how they've handled Aaron Rodgers. Has one player had more power than him? They have been unable to convert him into a team player. The vibe inside the building is terrible." End quote. Now, Marcel, you cover the Dolphins, ESPN, NFL Nation Dolphins, so you're down here. You get where I'm coming from. The New York Jets get no love in the Zaslow Mansion. I don't like the Jets, all right? So any opportunity that I have to pile on the New York Jets, I'm more than happy to do that. But I'll be honest with you. I don't think this is one of those instances, if I'm being fair, because for one, everything that I've heard about Aaron Rodgers, on the outside looking in, it seems like a mess. He's clearly in charge, and we know the Jets, for the most part, are a lousy franchise. But yeah, if you talk to any of the teammates, any of the players that have played with him either in Green Bay or now are in New York, they love him. They speak glowingly about Aaron Rodgers. So I'm not so sure when we're saying here, like, it kind of feels to me like it's someone who maybe has an axe to grind, you know, anonymously with the New York Jets, because the vibe inside the building is terrible. I mean, maybe you're talking about as far as the executives, because like I said, everything I hear about the players, they love Aaron Rodgers. And the New York Jets, for the first, I guess, last year too, going into the season, you could have said this as well, they consider themselves big-time contenders. How can the vibes be that bad? What am I missing here, Marcel?
Yeah, Hassan Reddick's agent, is that you?
Right, right,
like,
right.
I don't know. Like, people do speak glowingly of Aaron Rodgers. You know, they say he might be a little weird, might be a little outside-the-box thinker, I think, to put it politely. But, like, ultimately, he's been a good teammate, you know, for the most part, from everything that, you know, most things that I read. I've said this all offseason, though, Zaz. The reason why I can't put them among AFC contenders and Super Bowl contenders is quite frankly because they're the Jets.
Oh, I'm totally with you.
Some teams just do what they do, man. Yeah. Like, I don't care how good. Remember all the superstars that the Browns were trying to acquire like 8 years ago, and getting Odell and Jarvis and all of this?
Yeah.
It was like, y'all are still the Browns.
Totally with you.
Oh, you traded for Deshaun Watson, which in itself is a Browns thing to do, but they have more or less still been the Browns ever since. Sometimes, like, it's just from the top down. Like, it just, dysfunction is dysfunction.
But the players in the locker room, like the players in the Jets locker room, they don't have that self-awareness. Like, they don't think of it in those terms the way you and I do, where, no. Yeah, you know what, the Jets organization, I don't think they're going to do anything this year, you know, because they're the Jets. Players don't think that way. And part of it is because, in order to get to this place in your life, in your career, where you're the 1% of the 1%, you also have to have a massive ego and a hell of a lot of self-confidence. And so you're in that locker room. You're in the Jets locker room. Like, I don't care about what the history of this team is. We're really good players. We're going to be the group who manages to turn things around. So, again, you and I can look at it, I guess, a bit more rationally and say, yeah, the Jets, it's not a good organization, and they're likely going to wind up doing Jets things. But I don't think that that equals to bad vibes in the locker room, because I don't think players think that way.
Yeah, I don't know if the vibe. I think this is we're hearing from an agent of a disgruntled player.
Feels maybe, like it.
And maybe I don't know what the reporting process is at the Athletic. Maybe like this had to be verified from multiple agents, multiple players. This, that, and the third. Obviously, they stand by it if they put it out there. So you know, I don't want to say outright that they're wrong. It's just a little surprising to hear. But like, it's the Jets, so of course I'm going to believe it. Like if the Jets are Murphy's Law incarnated, like if something's going to go wrong, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen to the New York Jets.
You know, we're keeping an eye on what's going on here with Colorado and North Dakota State. Deion, he's a super lightning rod, and you don't want to come out the gates. Now, they lead 7-3 in the middle of the first quarter. You don't want to come out the gates and lose your first game. The media firestorm would be enormous. Very similar with the New York Jets. You know, next week, Thursday Night Football, starting the season, you come out after we've waited really for a year and a half now to see Aaron Rodgers. Because four snaps does not count last year, Marcel. We've waited a year and a half to see Aaron Rodgers play football for the New York Jets. If they come out and lose that game, which is totally possible, by the way, they're playing the 49ers. If they come out and lose that game, there's a major media storm until the very next week when hopefully they would then get their first win, you know?
You know what? I'll say this, though. The storm would be bigger if they beat the Niners than it would be if they lose to the Niners. I think ultimately, again, this is Aaron Rodgers' first real full game. If he makes it, which hopefully he does. We don't pray on downfalls here. It's his first game in like 2 years, man.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know. There's no real chemistry, no in-season, in-game chemistry with this team yet. And you're out here, you immediately got to go face the NFC champ. Like, I don't think anybody expects the Jets to win this game. But, oh my goodness, if they do, Zaslo, we are never going to hear the end of it. I might not watch morning television, morning sports television.
Oh, I won't turn off morning television if that's the case. I won't be able to get enough of it.
Jets. Like I would not be able to do it, man. It'll look like Air Week down here in Miami with all these Jets flying around.
Well, if you're looking for some scoring, by the way, you got North Dakota State, who's knocking on the door here, third and goal, as they scored a field goal their first possession. Colorado got a touchdown on their first, and now North Dakota State is trying to score as well. That's on ESPN. They are late in the first quarter. Coming up next, we're going to stick with the Jets. We'll figure out what is actually going on in that locker room. That's next. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslo in for Amber and Ian. You heard Kevin Winter there in the update. North Dakota State has taken back a 10-7 lead against Colorado. It is a shootout in Boulder. They are late in the first quarter. That game is on ESPN. So, speaking of the New York Jets, we're a week away from the season starting. Jets, 49ers. Let's get Zach Rosenblatt, the Athletic Jets reporter, on board here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Zach, thanks so much for your time. How would you describe the current vibe in the Jets building right now, a week out from game number one?
I'd say the vibes are as good as they've been in a few years, frankly. I think, you know, this is as optimistic, like, I've felt about this team just based on the vibe and, you know, the tone and the way they've carried themselves. You know, I think last year they kind of got a little ahead of themselves, and they were talking about themselves as something before they had accomplished anything. And it backfired once Aaron went down after four plays. And I think they learned a lot from last year, Robert Saleh in particular. You've seen him with a much, you know, more business-like approach. And all these veterans they brought in, Tyron Smith, Mike Williams, Morgan Moses, bringing Aaron Rodgers back healthy. Like, it's made a huge difference. And so this I feel as good about the team right now as I have all summer, where, you know, you go into training camp, you wonder all the health questions they have, how they're going to look, and I think they're ready to go.
So you're telling us that Aaron Rodgers does not rule that building with an iron fist? He's not a locker room, he's not a harm to the locker room in that building as a whole?
No, I think that's overblown a bit. He obviously has a strong personality, and when he came here, I think that first year, that first offseason, they went a little too heavy on, like, bringing in all his friends. And I think they backed up on that a little bit. And I just think the vibes right now are great. Obviously, you know, especially in New York, if they lose to the 49ers in, you know, a bad fashion and, you know, they lose one of those other first three games they have, then the tone might change really quick. But I think right now Aaron is pretty beloved by everybody in there for sure.
All right, so speaking about overblown, and we have Zach Rosenblatt, Athletic Jets reporter, joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. When we talk about it, you know, on a national level, are we overblowing the relationship, or maybe lack thereof, between the head coach and the quarterback?
I think that's something I'll have my eye on based on, like, how the season goes, because, you know, I think there was some weird stuff this offseason with the way they handled the Egypt thing. I think there was something there to where Robert Saleh was maybe a little tired of everybody talking about how Aaron ran the organization and, you know, put his foot down a little bit. And I don't know if that went as well as he thought it would. But, I just think if things are going well, then their relationship is going to be great. And if things are not, then I'm very curious to see how it's handled, is what I would say.
Speaking of things that do not appear to be going great, Zach, what is going on with Hassan Reddick? We've seen this kind of confirmation from Joe Douglas that he is not going to be negotiating before Reddick shows up to practice. Why is Reddick not showing up? Like, is it just as simple as he wants to get paid? But is it that serious that he doesn't even want to be in the building at all?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a situation where both sides maybe weren't. I mean, Joe Douglas has insisted they were clear and direct in their communication. But I think from the other side's perspective, I think Hassan, you know, he made it clear when he was with the Eagles, he wanted more money and he wanted to be paid like one of the, you know, best defensive ends in the NFL, which statistically he has an argument of being. And the Eagles were not going to pay him that. And so the Jets traded for him without agreeing to a contract first. They offered him something that was below market value. The Jets were under the impression he was still willing to come to the Jets and then, you know, figure it out later or whatever. He gets the Jets. He does his intro press conference. And then he hasn't been there since. And I think, you know, from his side of the table, I think his people feel like maybe the Jets were not, you know, as truthful as they're claiming to be. You know, each side has their story. And so I think it's a case of Hassan, you know, not liking how the Jets have handled it. And so he's really dug in and committed to not coming. And I think week one with these holdouts, you often look at as the moment where a lot of these guys, you know, end their holdouts because, you know, his contract would become fully guaranteed if he was active in week one. So it's if he skips week one, then I don't know when he's going to come back. And if he's willing to give up game checks, then this is really a really ugly situation. And I think their defense can be very good without him, but with him, it could be one of the, like, five best in the league. So they definitely are motivated to bring him back, but they won't negotiate with him until he's in the building and he doesn't want to come to the building, so.
Does it work both ways, though, Zach, where, you know, if we get to week one, Reddick may be more inclined to get into the building because he's going to be losing game checks. But at the same time, the Jets have said that they are not going to trade him. But if he doesn't show up to week one, do the Jets then say, all right, you know what, we got to get out of the Hassan Reddick business?
No, I think they're pretty committed to not trading him. I think they're trying to call his bluff. They're playing a little game of chicken right now. And you could argue they have the leverage because they're the ones that are saving money by him not showing up. So it's a really unfortunate situation because, you know, this, you know, Hassan, he's very good. And I think, you know, if he shows up and he plays to his capabilities, then everybody will forgive him. But if he shows up and, you know, he struggles or he's not in shape, then, you know, maybe his teammates won't be so happy and the fan base will let him know about it. So it could get even uglier in some ways. And I don't really know when this situation is going to end, because even if he shows up, I don't think the Jets are going to turn around and hand him $25 million a year. So is he going to be happy is the question.
No, Zach, at this point in Robert Saleh's tenure with the New York Jets, if they don't make the playoffs this year, is the Saleh era over? Is it playoff or bust right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could make that case for Joe Douglas too, but definitely for Robert Saleh. You know, I think it's pretty rare a coach even gets to his fourth year without winning more than 7 games like Robert has. I think throughout history, it hasn't been that many, especially in recent history, where a coach made it that long without, you know, I think Aaron's injury last year gave him a mulligan, and they're not going to get another one. Woody Johnson is impatient. The Jets have the longest playoff drought of all the 4 professional sports leagues, 13 years, and they're desperate to get back to the playoffs. If they can't get to the playoffs with all the hype, all the money they've spent, and all that stuff, like, there's going to be a lot of people losing their jobs.
All right, Zach, no injuries, all right? We cannot factor in any type of significant injuries. Best case scenario, worst case scenario this year for the Jets?
I mean, best case scenario, I think this team has the talent, you know, if we're assuming health, like you said, that this team could win, you know, they could be a 12-13 win team. Like, that's the high end of their capability. And the worst case scenario, I think, is kind of what happened last year. Aaron Rodgers goes down early in the season. Tyrod Taylor obviously is much better than Zach Wilson, but he also had some issues staying healthy. So could he last 17 games in that scenario? And, you know, and they have other guys that, you know, a guy like Garrett Wilson or a Sauce Gardner or Quinton Williams, if any of those key guys get hurt, then I think that could be really bad for them. So, yeah, I think they're an injury or two away from, you know, really going off the rails, but they also have the ability to be very, very good.
Zach Rosenblatt, Athletic Jets reporter here on Amber and Ian. Thanks a lot for your time tonight, Zach. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great talking to you guys.
So, Marcel, and look, Zach, he writes for The Athletic, and we were just talking about it a few minutes ago, how they came out with actually a survey where you had a lot of agents or, you know, reps who were giving their thoughts on each team around the league and the current state. And I don't know, it just sounded fishy to me, the idea that there are bad vibes all over the Jets facility. And I got no problem pounding on the New York Jets. I'm here in South Florida. I'm a Dolphins fan. And Zach is someone who's in the building and around the building. It didn't make sense to me, Marcel, that finally they're this close to actually getting to see Aaron Rodgers in a Jets uniform during a game. And you're telling me the vibes are bad? That doesn't add up to me.
Yeah, and also, I retract my Hassan Reddick agent joke, because how would Hassan Reddick know what the vibes are in the building? He hasn't been in the building in a while. So it's not coming from the most disgruntled player on that team. It is curious. It's interesting. I don't know that, like, I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. You know, obviously, this is one person, one player's opinion coming from, you know, if it's coming from an agent, then it's automatically it's a third party, right? Like, it's somebody who's in themselves hearing something secondhand. So you just got to take these things with a grain of salt. We are this close to NFL football. These stories are going to go away in just a week and a chance. Not even a week at this point. No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A week. So next Thursday is when we can really start talking football again instead of speculation and drama and mess.
Are you big into fantasy, Marcel? You a fantasy football guy?
Absolutely.
Hey, you got your draft out of the way, or do you have that? Do you wait till the last minute?
Always after the third preseason game, even when there were 4, always after preseason game 3. I'm in a couple leagues. We did one draft. What day was that? On Sunday.
Okay.
On Sunday. I feel okay about it. Feel decent about it.
All right.
I got an auction draft coming up on September 5th.
People are still doing auction drafts out there?
Yeah, I got to start preparing for that, man, because, like, every year I hop in there and it's like, I'm not prepared for this.
And so is the auction draft, because that's serious business. Is that, like, with a bunch of people that you know? Is it a really high-stakes league?
Yeah, you know, $100 buy-in, 14-team.
14?
Yeah, guys from college. We might be down to 12 this year, but we operate at capacity is 14 teams, and it is It's tough, man, because there are some really serious overpays, and like it's an old fraternity league, man. So you know, like
okay.
Some of this is just to instigate. Like, people are bidding on players just to make sure you have to pay.
If someone knows more. That you like a certain guy, he's going to up the ante and make you really pay, really fork it over to have him.
Exactly. And I do it. I do it, too. I drove up the price on Tyreek Hill last year. I mean, it backfired because Tyreek was awesome, and he usually is. But I drove the price way up for him and way up on Waddle and way up on Mostert because – they all know I cover the Dolphins, so if I'm bidding for a Dolphins player, they think, like, oh, that's automatic.
Oh, he must be amazing. He's going to have a great year then.
Yeah, but, like, little do you know, with the Dolphins, like, there's, like, eight of them that need the ball. Like, there's eight of them that are going to share the ball. They're all individually incredible. It doesn't mean they're going to have a bunch of incredible fantasy seasons.
That is very serious business. Auction fantasy draft that Marcel's got coming. You better get to studying. All right, coming up next here on Amber and Ian, there's a lot of truths out there. There's a lot of lies out there. We're going to tell you if it's a truth or if it's a lie. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod at checkout.
No one's playing defense. Colorado with a 14-10 lead over North Dakota State early in the second quarter. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio alongside Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Let's do a little truth or lie. Come on now.
Are they giving us the inside scoop?
What I'm about to tell you is top secret.
Or are we being held out of the loop?
Our game plan is simple yet complex.
This is Truth or Lie.
I will give 110%
with Amber and Ian.
All right, Marcel, let's bring James Steele aboard, producing the show behind the glass up there in Bristol. I'm an excellent lie detector, James. Everybody knows that about me.
All right, well, we'll see, I guess. Let's start with where we kind of just ended here. Hassan Reddick, his holdout will last at least through week one of the NFL season. Zaz, truth or lie?
Yeah, I'm going truth. I think both sides are at a place where they're definitely playing chicken, and I think they refuse to give in to the other side. They are so dug in their stance that even if it hurts them, they're sticking with it, Marcel. I think that's a truth.
I'm going to go the other direction. I'm saying that's a lie. Ultimately, you're playing this game to make money, right? You're going to lose a whole hell of a lot of it if this spills into week one. Guaranteed money is better than no money. I think he is back by week one.
All right. The Bills will finish third in the AFC East. Marcel, truth or lie?
Oh, that's a lie. That's a lie. A lot of people see the AFC East as a three-team race between the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins. You could toss the Patriots out, and as far as I'm concerned, you can also toss the Jets out. I do think that the Bills finish second, but I say that and I flinch a little bit because every time I think the Bills are going to finish second, something happens and Josh Allen reminds me that he's Josh Allen. So if the Dolphins can beat the Bills this year, just once, then I'm going to go ahead and give them the division.
All right.
But third, no.
The Bills finishing third in the AFC East. That is a lie because they're going to finish fourth. No, they're not going to finish. They're going to finish second. They're not going to finish fourth. It's a lie because they're going to. I just wanted to see the reaction. They're going to finish second. The Dolphins are going to win that division. I do believe the Bills take a step back. So it is a lie, James Steele.
I mean, it took a miraculous, like, seven games at the end of the season for them to even make the playoffs last
year. That's right.
So, and they had Steph Diggs and all their veterans there. I don't know. Okay, the New York Giants will be the worst team in the NFL. Is that truth or lie?
It's a good question, James. Got to give you credit. It's a good question. I'm going to go lie. I think there's a real possibility that they can be. But I believe the Patriots are going to be very terrible. And I believe the Broncos are going to be very terrible. And that right there, that's two teams that I think are on the level of the Giants. So if we're going to do math here, I'm excellent at math. If we're going to do math here, then I got to take the field against the Giants. I'm going to say that's a lie.
I'm also going to say that's a lie. I think the Panthers are still terrible. The Panthers are still terrible. Like, not only are they terrible, they were terrible without the benefit of a first-round pick to soften the blow. So, no, you look at their additions this offseason. Jonathan Brooks and Deontay Johnson, that's not enough to make you not the worst team in the NFL. I think it's Carolina once again for the third year in a row.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be the best team in the NFC South. Marcel, truth or lie?
That's a lie. It's going to be the Atlanta Falcons. The only thing holding that team back was creative offensive play calling and competent quarterback play. They addressed both of those with Kirk Cousins and, you know, getting Arthur Smith out. It really doesn't even matter who they brought in. As long as Arthur Smith is out. No, I think it's going to be the Atlanta Falcons. They win the NFC South, I think, pretty comfortably, too.
That is a big lie, James. The Atlanta Falcons are not only going to win that division, they are going to run away with it. They're going to win it by several games. I am bullish on the Falcons. I think they are a contender in the NFC. I mean, look, the Bucs can remain a 9-win team. Maybe they're an 8-win team. Falcons are a double-digit win team. So that is a lie right there, James. Stop lying.
Touchdown North Dakota State. It is now 16-14. Pending the extra point, North Dakota State right now. I think we're into the second quarter.
Yeah.
Okay, truth or lie, right here on Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio. This will be Dak Prescott's final season with the Cowboys. Truth or lie, Zaz?
That is a truth. That's right. I guarantee. Sometimes you got to go on the record. I'll go on the record right now. Dak Prescott is hitting unrestricted free agency. He is going to be a free agent. Now, of course, that could mean he returns to the Cowboys, but I think somebody out there, it only takes one team to outbid the Cowboys. And when you're pitting everybody against them, that could certainly happen. I believe this is Dak Prescott's last year as a Dallas Cowboy, Marcel.
I disagree. I disagree. I think that's a lie. Jerry Jones has kind of set the standard over the past couple of years that he'll let his stars, you know, squirm. He will make sure they have an iron stomach. He will take it down to the wire, but ultimately he's going to pay his dudes. And I think Dak is no different here. I think he pays Dak. I don't know if it's league setting money. You know, I don't know if it's $60-65 million. That's that's a whole different conversation. But he will be a Dallas Cowboy in 2025.
Well, that right there is why, Marcel. Like you say, that's a completely different conversation. I agree, and that's why I think he is going to hit free agency. You know, I think it's really important for us to remember Dak Prescott made a point of saying he owes it to the membership in the union. He owes it to the players who come after him to get the best offer possible. There's a reason why in his contract they negotiated no franchise tag. It's with the intention, unless the Cowboys come and make the Godfather offer. Aubrey, you can't refuse. He's going to free agency to make sure he takes care of those guys behind him. I think this is different from like CeeDee Lamb. I think this is a scenario where Jerry better come in over the top of the highest offer. And I don't know if he does.
Yeah, one
because
more.
There's a – you got to pay Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Eventually. That's crazy. That's going to be crazy money.
Yep. Real quick, James, you got one more, what do you say?
The Chiefs will three-peat. Marcel, truth or lie?
That's a lie. It's just because it's hard to do. Just
that is a lie as well, James. It's never happened before in the Super Bowl era. That is the biggest truth that you have asked on this show. More coming up next on ESPN Radio.